Grace, mercy, and peace be ours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I need to be reminded, and you need to be reminded, and so God's Word reminds us today, life does not consist in the abundance of our possessions. Dear Christian friends, flour, water, yeast, and salt. Those are the four ingredients that go into making bread. Even good bread could be made with just those four simple things, flour, water, salt, and yeast. And yet any baker knows what? There's a lot more to it than that. There's the time variable, the temperature variable, how you knead the dough. And then you got to have people who enjoy the bread, the artistry of making it, and the people who enjoy slathering up with butter and eating it. Good bread. In other words, it's not just the flour, the water, the salt, the yeast. It's the love that makes bread good bread. Or coffee. I noticed my eyes just went up about that, 5 centimeters. Good coffee is not just beans and water, is it? Just some coffee beans. Yeah, that's the elements. That's what it consists of. But if you know anything about coffee, you've got to have little cherries, which are appropriately placed in the right climates, and they grow, and then they're processed appropriately. They're dry or wet. And then you take them, you send them off as green beans to the roaster, and he has a big thermal machine, and he puts them in there, and he gets down to the right second, maybe first crack and second crack. He's got the perfect roasting of that bean. And then you sell it, then you grind it in the perfectly burr grinder, make it just right, and you have a gooseneck kettle, and you put it in a Chemex, and you pour it over, and make really good coffee. It's not just the beans and the water. You've got to have good water, too, by the way. It's about the love of the coffee maker, the roaster, and the one who's brewing, and the enjoyment of the coffee. So don't expect an easy answer to this question. What does life consist of? Or more personally, what does your life consist of? Oxygen, carbon, nitrogen, phosphorus, hydrogen. There's about 6 elements that all life is made up of, they say. Really? Is that all life is? Just the elements? Those 6 things, plus maybe, I guess there's 5 other trace elements making up 0.085% of the rest of your body. Now tell that to your mom. That's all you're worth, about 97 cents worth of materials you get on the market is chemicals. Tell that mom, ask your mom, how much did it cost to bring me home from the hospital? How much did it cost to feed me, to raise me, put clothes on me, and get me ready for school this week? How much did it cost to train me up and send me off to school and for a wedding and then repeat? You see, I think you know where this is going. Life is more than just the material things, isn't it? Who can put a value on your memories? Like that time you went from Florida all the way up to Washington cycling on a road trip through California. Or all the Thanksgivings and Christmases you spent together as a family. The celebrating of all those milestones. Who can put a value on all of that? Life consists of more than just material things. But that's hard for us Americans to remember. How many of you know that man or woman who works their tail off because they desire more of the almighty dollar? Because with more of the almighty dollar, we can buy more goods. Only to need bigger barns to store the stuff in. A recent report said that one of the fastest growing things in the United States is what? Storage facilities. Why? Because I have more stuff to put stuff into and I need to keep that up. So I work harder to buy more stuff. I work my tail off to put it in a storage facility, which costs more money, so I need to work even harder which means there's no time for the immaterial things. No time to stop and smell the neighbor's roses. Persons who think that hiking in the Smokies is what poor people do. People who don't have a three-story boat, which they don't really have time to use anyway, but they keep it in one of those climate-controlled storage facilities. Persons who have no time to stop and give thanks to the Almighty God who made heaven and earth. No time to think about what He values most in life. He knows what life consists of. Jesus said in today's text, "Be on your guard against all forms of covetousness, for one's life does not consist of the abundance of your possessions." Not you, probably, but you know that there are people out there who think that this world is all that there is. Not that you've never thought it. The devil is always working to get our minds off of the eternal things, the things of the spirit, and just keep our minds fixed on what? The material, the things here and now, the things that we can see and touch and taste and do. Forget about all that. If this world is all that there is, you can see why people work tirelessly to gather up as much as they can and put it into barns, even bigger barns. It's a coping mechanism. Even agnostics and atheists have admitted, as they approached an inevitable death, that they wasted too much time doing things that stored up things for themselves. The folly of what they spent most of their time doing. When I was in high school, we did a production of a play. Maybe you've heard of it before. You Can't Take It With You. It's a comedy. It kind of builds on the thought from Job 1:21, "Naked I came into the world, and naked I will go." In eternity, there's no appeal to Almighty God that says, "Hey, I had more stuff than most. I must have done something right." God will not ask you, "How much did you earn?" But He may ask, "How much did you learn of me and my sacrifice for you? Me and my gifts that I gave to you through my Son, the Savior of the world. How much did you value the sacrifice that I made to give you eternal life?" Parents, you can relate to that, can't you? Then He might ask, not how much did you have, but how much did you share? How much did you help another in his or her need? Things that endure to eternal life are the things that are done for others. God for you and what you do for others. Those things endure to eternal life. Their memories will not fade. Not that the things that we do, but the things that God has done and works in and through you are the things that truly last. The things done for others purely, not the things that you do for others that you really do for yourself, but the things that you do truly out of love for others, prompted out of God's love for you. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty. Not the easy answer, but the true one. What does your life consist of? The American occupation of the material? More stuff, more storage, more stuff, more storage. Or Jesus who said, "I am life. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." Do you believe this? Jesus asked. Just remember, Jesus bought your faith and your body with his own precious body and blood. store up that treasure for yourself. For that's what truly endures. And that's how you are rich towards God. God will not say, how much stuff did you have? But how much of that mustard seed-like faith is in you? The trust in Christ Jesus' cross and his open tomb for you. Such faith, the treasure, never fades or fails. Treasure up what God has done. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.